It's really nice actually to be back up here, and it is a few years, it has to be said. But my life changed about 5 years ago, so that even though Liz and I have been members of this church for 29 years, there'll be some of you here this morning that won't even recognize me. But many will, many will. Just as a very quick introduction then, Liz and I, we've been married 36 years, we have three grown-up children. We married our two sons this summer, which has been, I know. And we're hopeful for our daughter for next year, but we'll see. Liz is a teacher, and my work changed. I spent 40 years in banking and finance, and then 5 years ago made redundant with an early retirement, which was fantastic, I have to say. A real change of direction that God has led. And he led me, first of all, under Stefan's invitation, actually, to go and work with him at Habitat. So for 18 months, I kind of learnt the ground rules of charity fundraising with Stefan. We had a wonderful time, but we went through a few tough experiences as well. But after that, then 3 years ago, when Habitat disappeared from Banbury and moved down to London, I joined the Leprosy Mission. And over the last 3 years, I've been working with the Leprosy Mission as a fundraiser, basically, but dealing with churches and relationships with churches in Wales and mid-England. So I've been travelling. So every Sunday, I'm going to be in another church, in a different church, a different denomination, leading or preaching. And it's been a completely new thing for me, as well as in the week as well. So that's why many of you will not recognize me on a Sunday. And the only reason really I'm here today is that I've been on holiday the last 2 weeks, and I'm still on holiday, so I'm here. And over this last 2 weeks of holiday, I've been sort of thinking and reflecting, as you do when you go away on holiday, about what the year has thrown at you. And I've put down a few thoughts to share with you today. So they're very personal. So it's either going to be rubbish or it's going to be powerful. But I pray that God will really take my thoughts and speak to you. Let us just pray. Father God, we thank you that you are here right now with us, right here. Father, we just pray that you will clear our minds, clear our thoughts, that we can hear from you. Whatever it is that you have to say to us this day, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're looking at a passage from Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verses 31 to 46. It's the parable of the sheep and goats. So Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. But I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." And they will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Well, that's a really, really powerful parable that Jesus told here. Now, over the last 2 weeks, I've been away on holiday, been cycling and walking down in Brittany and France, the rain and the sun and the wind and whatever else it's thrown at us. And I've had time to spend just mulling over the last few months of this year. I just want to really share some of that meandering of my thoughts with you this morning. So things may not be quite so structured as I would like. But you see this wonderful picture of sheep and goats. I wonder what kind of picture that conjures up for you. Some of you, this parable will be very, very familiar. Maybe there are others of you that don't actually recognize it and will think, what is all this about? It's strange at the least. Why compare us to sheep and goats? The character of which many of us will not know, with the exception of maybe John Neal, wherever John is, saw him somewhere this morning, and Eddie, who's, I know he's had some sheep. But it's really lovely. I love sheep. Do you love white, cuddly, cute little sheep? I've got hundreds of pictures of them I could show you and convince you, but I won't do that. But it's a lovely language that Jesus uses. But the goats, I'm not so keen on. Those two goats I took that picture of, they were constantly butting each other. And if they weren't doing that, they were butting my legs or they were pulling on my trousers. They're terrible things. But they're grumpy. And it reminds me of a time, going back quite some years now, 30 years ago, when my eldest son, Simon, we took him to Paignton Zoo. And have you ever been to one of these zoos where they've got these little farmyard sections and you've got sheep and goats and guinea pigs and rabbits and the children can stroke them and they're lovely? Well, there was our son in his little buggy and his little comfort blanket minding his own business until this goat came along, snatched his blanket out of his hands and then promptly ate it in front of him. It just terrorized him of little animals for years from then onwards. So they're not all that nice. However, those hearing the words of Jesus would have fully understood about sheep and goats. It's part of their life. And they would have understood this whole process of sorting the sheep from the goats. During the daytime, the sheep and the goats would graze together, they would wander wherever they like, no problem. But come the night time, things were different, because sheep and goats are actually very different. They make similar noises. They bleat a bit and they baa a little bit. But actually, they are very different. They have different needs, they have different personalities, and their behaviors are very, very different. Goats are trouble. There's no other way to say it. Goats are very independent animals, and if left alone for, say, a week, if the shepherd went away, they would find their own way, they'd find some food to eat, they would take care of themselves, they would survive. However, sheep are different. They look cute, and they look very cuddly, but actually, they need a lot of help. They need a lot of tending and looking after. I don't know if any of you knew that if a sheep falls over onto its back, it cannot get up. It needs somebody else to come and get it and lift it up. And sheep also have a strong tendency to panic. They will run around wildly if they get stressed. Is this right, Bina? Yes, she's agreeing. Phew. Got my research right here. And if you drove by a field of sheep and like tooted your horn loudly, You would so panic the sheep, they'll be running around all day long, bumping in off the fences and off each other, really stressed and worried and panicked. But sheep also recognize the calming effect of the shepherd. They know and they can trust the shepherd that he will take them to the lush green grass that will fill their tummies, and he will take care of them. And that calms them down and they're fine. And they know that the shepherd will be the one that will care for them and take and look after them for everything they need. And we are just like those sheep who God takes care of. He is our good shepherd. He cares for us and will never leave us or let us go. And we can trust him. We can trust him for everything that we need. So Jesus has this wonderful way of telling this picture stories and explaining about the kingdom of God in a way, in a language that ordinary people could understand, that sometimes we think is slightly odd. But in the past, you know, I have found this parable very difficult. I really struggle with this. It gets me all nervous and worried because it's a tough message to hear if, as maybe in the past, I've just read it in isolation. I've just read it on face value for the words that I read at the time, which doesn't take into account the bigger picture of the relationship that God has with us. It seemed to suggest that it was the result of good works that would get me to an everlasting life with my God. And with the threat of eternal punishment there being very strong and could be incurred by just a simple lack of not caring for the sick and the poor. And you think, oh my goodness, how many copies of The Big Issue do I have to buy to ensure I become a sheep and not a goat? I found it very difficult. But Scripture does not contradict itself. The Bible clearly and repeatedly teaches that our salvation is by faith, and it's faith through the grace of God and not by our good works. The sheep have not earned their place in the kingdom through the good things that they may have done. What does make us part of the kingdom of God is stated in Romans 3 and 23. All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. When we trust in Jesus and believe that he died for our sin, something happens. We change. We change from the inside out. So the real evidence of our belief and our faith in God's kingdom can then be found in our actions. Good deeds alone will not get us to heaven, as this parable could have been suggesting, but that our actions reflect and speak loudly of the belief that we hold deeply in our hearts. Living day by day in the kingdom of God throws up surprises, though. And in this story, both people identified as either sheep or goats were surprised. Lord, when did we see you? Or Lord, when did we not see you? They are surprised, but what are they surprised by? I think they are surprised by their failure to recognize Jesus, or where Jesus is in their world and where he can be found. But God will continue to appear where we least expect him to be, in the plight of the needy and oppressed people. Surely these must be some of the least of my brothers and sisters that Jesus spoke of. So this actually helps us to find and experience God's presence in our lives more fully by caring for people in need. Because when we do that, we do it for him there is clearly a correlation between experiencing God's presence on the one hand in a deeper way and then doing and acting what he calls us to do. So this then begs the big question. How do we live like sheep and not goats on a day-to-day basis? Well, I hear you bleat. This parable may be suggesting that we treat all people as though they are Jesus. We need to treat all people as though they are Jesus. And that's no easy task, as I don't need to remind you. So therefore, we need to ask ourselves, how well do my daily actions with everybody that I meet separate me from pretenders and unbelievers? Will I be considered as a sheep or a goat? When we decided to follow Jesus, we got a brand new start, a whole new life beginning. And he wants us to love the people around us because he loves them so much. When he was on earth, Jesus said there were just two things that we needed to remember. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we remembered that, wow, we are really getting there. But do you know someone that may be struggling to get enough to eat or put clothes on their back to feed their children? Share with them. They're right on our doorstep. Offer them a cup of tea or a glass of water. Or maybe someone in your office or in your school is always someone that's sat on their own. People generally don't talk to them. Go and sit with them. Get to know them. Invite them home. Spend time with them. It can be very easy. I said earlier that 5 years ago, I had a big, big change in my working life. And since that time, God has been really opening my eyes wider to understand his way of living to the full, but also balancing that with serving the least of these, my brothers and sisters. I experienced this very strongly 2 years ago when I went out to India for the first time with work. The whole experience expanded my vision of God out of my relatively small world experience with then the number of needy people. This was just one of the people that I have met over the last few years. And if you look into her eyes, and I know the sun's on it and you can't see so clearly, but there's years of pain and anguish written into her face. I'm not showing you any of her other physical disabilities, but just look at her face and you can see it written in there. It taught me that the world's need is just enormous. We see it in front of our eyes here, but worldwide, it is just magnified so many more times. And I've learned a number of things from this experience. I've learned that a pastoral heart is something that you can't learn. It is a gift from God. But what I did need to learn was the experience of being a servant leader. So important to learn being a servant leader, to know our place and not be self-seeking. There are times in our lives when God just calls us to work, to earn the money, to give our tithe or offerings, look after our families, and that's fine, and help those that go and minister and go on to mission and do all kinds of things. But then there are other times when maybe you discover that over the years, God has actually been training you through your experiences and your work life, so that now you have those gifts to go and to minister and into mission in all kinds of different ways. It then becomes so important to stay in that right, humble place. You have to stay so very close to God to rely on the strength of His Spirit leading you and guiding you. The work is there to be done, but you need to stay in that right place, very close to God. We need to know our place. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who has ever been brokenhearted? Yeah, it's fine. You're either going to know it immediately or you're going to have to think about it. Now, a few months ago, God spoke to me about this through a psalm, Psalm 147 and verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. And I've been reading this many, many times, and it wasn't really getting through to me. And I kept saying to God, well, I've never been brokenhearted. I didn't have a bad girlfriend relationship. I'm fine. I've never been brokenhearted. And over a period of months, God kept saying to me, think again, think again. So I thought again. And then I recalled my eldest son, Simon, that in his first marriage, his wife left him and broke his heart. And he came back home to live with us, sold up the house, and he was distraught. He was broken man. And I felt his pain. It wasn't my pain, but it was his pain. But as a son, you really feel it. So I thought, oh, yeah, God, I did feel that pain for him. He said, no, I want you to think again. There's more. So I thought again, what else, God, have I been brokenhearted? And then going back quite some years with my work, I took a wrong turning. It was entirely my own fault. I thought I knew best. And I slightly changed the job that I was doing. And it was wrong. And I very nearly lost everything as a result. I was putting my kind of all my security, my money, my future, my pension, it all looked like it was going. And I didn't really understand it at the time. And then I saw it, and I needed to surrender everything to God. And it was at the moment that I did that, overnight, my entire situation changed. And God provided for me. But I learned so much from that. And I was brokenhearted, but in a different kind of way through that experience. But then God said, think again. There's more. There is more. I'm thinking, goodness me, God, what more is there? I'm feeling pretty drained at the moment. And then he reminded me of when my daughter Jessica, our daughter Jessica, was six. She had appendicitis. And we took her into the Banbury Horton Hospital on a Thursday or Friday. And for days she stayed there and they wouldn't do anything. They said, no, it's not appendicitis. It's just some kind of virus or something. And we watched her almost die in front of our eyes. Until they said, well, we don't know what's wrong with her, but we're going to have to operate anyway. And of course, as soon as they operated, it burst and the poison spread through her body. And all her major organs shut down, and we did very nearly lose her. And that breaks my heart. She's my daughter. But I had to struggle to remember that. And that was the point. God was showing me His healing. His healing is incredible because He blanks off from our minds those bad experiences. Otherwise, we'd never do anything. We would just be in that fearful place and we'd go nowhere. He healed me of all those thoughts, those broken-hearted times. And he offers that to us all. But my concern is for those that don't know that. And there's many that we know that are bitter and twisted, whose lives are taken a dreadful direction because they don't know God's healing love. But what was the real point that God was trying to make with me was this. That yes, for me, those were big experiences, and we could all share big, heartbreaking experiences. But they are a minuscule compared to many in our world whose pain, whose hunger, whose loneliness, the stigma and the bullying that they receive is just 1,000 times worse than what we will ever know. And we need to do something about it. There is a big world out there that maybe few of us would get the opportunity to really see and experience and understand the need to stand up for justice and mercy and love and take whatever action that we can do for these, the least, my brothers and sisters. We have to find our own way to reach these people, be it face-to-face, locally, or nationally, and for some maybe into overseas development. This church, and I mean the people of this church, work hard in this locality for the poor and the hungry and the lonely. But for me, it was going abroad. It was going to that developing world country, of which there are many, just like India, where the real scope of human need has exploded. And it's just one example of many countries that we could say this about. So let's come back to our sheep and our goats. What is the core message of this parable? And it's this, that God's people will love each other, will love God's people. Wherever we see them, wherever we meet them, wherever we go. Good works will result from our relationship with God, to the shepherd. Therefore, followers of Christ should treat others with kindness, serving them as we would be serving Christ himself, to be honorable and to be our daily worship to God. And that God continues to come and surprise us sometimes where we least expect to find him in the plight of the needy and oppressed. Truly, I tell you, whatever you do for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do it for me. The real evidence of our faith and our belief is then in our actions, which is to treat all people that we meet as though they are Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you want to bring transformation and life in all its fullness to all people throughout the world. We pray for all those affected by discrimination, those that are marginalized, those that are ignored in our local community and the bigger world. We pray, Lord, that they will know your love and light and comforting arms surrounding them today. Lord Jesus, just as you have ministered to people affected by illness, greed, or disability, please help us to do what we can to bring hope and love to those living in poverty, fear, or lonely. Just as we care for people like this, we are looking after you. Lord, fill us with your love and your compassion, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.